Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Kreacher, and I will be your host today. Autism and Scouting Radio is part of the Autism and Scouting program. This program is brought to you by Autism Empowerment. To get more information about both Autism Empowerment and the Autism and Scouting program after the broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org. There you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and a variety of other special social media outlets. If you're interested in upcoming broadcasts or listening to previous podcasts, you can also see it there. They're also there on archive. And you can also go to iTunes and search for Autism Empowerment or Autism and Scouting, and you can find those archived programs as well there. We started slow here, Autism and Scouting Radio, when we first started the program back in July, but you know, things are really starting to take off. We now have 33 shows underneath our belt. Today marks 34, and tomorrow will be number 35. And also to date now we have over 8,500 listens to our broadcast, so we're really starting to reach a lot of people. I want to thank everyone that's had part in that, all of the guests, Autism Empowerment, obviously, because without Autism Empowerment, this program wouldn't be in existence. So thank you for everyone and all of your support. I have two more quick things before we bring on our guests. First of all, I want to thank my last guest, Shannon Spiekler, who talked about her story and how she was able to bring the story of her son to her PAC when they first joined. She gave an autism awareness talk to their whole PAC about their son who has autism. It really helped the whole PAC get behind this Cub Scout. Both the kids really rallied behind her son and really encouraged him and to keep on going, and he's doing a great job to date. It helped provide a lesson of acceptance to the parents and other Scout leaders. If you've not heard the show, I'd encourage you to do so. Second of all, I really want to promote the show for tomorrow. On December 6th, at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to be talking to a Boy Scout. His name is Joey. It's part of the Inspiration from the Spectrum collection. Joey is from Mississippi, and on Saturday, December 8th, he'll have his Eagle Court of Honor. Joey's faced a lot of hardships getting to where he is at today, both on a lot of different levels. They live in what was considered ground zero for Katrina, so he had to live through all of that. He also, as far as scouting is concerned, had to deal with a lot of bullying, and we may be touching base with on that, both by scouts and, unfortunately, by some leaders. So it's kind of a sore subject for him, but it's something he wants to be able to share and to leaders to really provide acceptance all the way around. And what's really amazing, not only that he's an Eagle Scout, he's now also, what he's doing, he's mentoring other Scouts throughout the country via Skype. He actually gets on Skype and with other Scouts who have autism or Asperger's throughout the country and helps mentor them in their scouting process. So he really embodies the whole scouting spirit, and he's an amazing young man. Today we have a return guest. He's been on a few times before. He's a big supporter of Autism Empowerment. I was honored to have dinner with him a few weeks ago while he was in Portland, while he came up for the training conference that our area had. He's currently the BSA National Chair for Special Needs Scouting. He's also overseeing the 2013 Disability Awareness Challenge at the National Scout Jamboree. And as far as that's concerned, I know he's still looking for staff members, so that's a quick plug for that. He's also the webmaster for Working with Scouts with Special Needs, which has a wealth of information in working with all Scouts with Special Needs. Today we're going to be talking to Tony about extensions and the ISAP, which is kind of like an IEP for Scouts. So why don't we go ahead and bring Tony on board. Welcome, Tony.
Well, good words.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good, and a very timely topic because I've been smack in the middle of a couple of individual cases relative to extensions recently, so let's get on with it.
Absolutely. So what is an extension, and why would someone need to have one?
Okay. First of all, I'm going to have to be the semantics Gestapo here. Basically, when BSA uses the term extension, they mean for a limited period of time beyond the normal age that a scout could remain registered. And that can occur for a number of reasons, of which in some cases having special needs or disabilities may apply. For those who have special needs and disabilities, more specifically a significant physical or mental disability that will last for more than 2 years and may last beyond the 18th birthday, the correct terminology right now is to register the individual beyond the age of eligibility. And that registration does not have a limit.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a specific situation, and that's how you wind up with, if you will, special needs units, where, for example, you may have all of the residents of a group home who may range in age from 25 to 65, all could be registered as Cub Scouts, or as Boy Scouts, or Adventurers, or whatever. And that registration will last basically as long as they want to participate in the program at that level. The extension piece, I'm going to have to be perhaps a little specific here, because there is guidance in the official Guide to Advancement. That's a EPA publication number 33088. And if you don't have a copy of that and you're dealing with an advancement issue, that's a resource which I think is very important, and you need to take a look at it. Throughout the call today, I'm going to make some reference to certain sections in the Guide to Advancement, which is the current policy that National Council and councils across the country are applying.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that's good, because people will then have a source to go to afterwards to go back and really read through it and get in deep if they want to.
and I'll tell you what, you can get this document. You can pay for one and have your own personal hard copy. Hey, I went ahead and bought one, because at least that way I've got it bound and all. But you can also download it directly from the scouting.org website.
I actually did that and then printed it.
Yeah, it's about a little over 100 pages, and it's my knowledge that It's currently being reviewed, and there will be some changes made, and an updated publication, I believe, is in the works for early 2013. A lot of the stuff that will be in that revised version may have already been mentioned in the advancement newsletter that the National Advancement Committee puts out on a month to bi-monthly basis. They've had, I believe, about 9 or 10 issues so far. But you're absolutely right, John. This resource, I encourage the listeners to get a copy of that, especially if they have more specific questions and they want to address it on a case-by-case basis.
Now, I have a question for you. So the being registered beyond the age and having an extension, is it a matter of just coding when it comes down to how scouts are coded?
Okay. Registering beyond the age of eligibility, and that's covered by Section 10.1.0.0, which is the first section in the advancement for members with special needs. And that's very, you've got about a page and a half worth of policy there. The key point there is to register, you must have documented the disability, and as such, the registration does carry a code with it specific to the disability, or it basically says that you have a disability, and that carries with you. I mean, for a family might choose to go through this process and get that classification when their son is a Cub Scout. At such time as the young man decides to move on into Boy Scouting, that same code carries with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of alerting the troop that he has that classification and keep on going. And that's an important point, because if you choose to seek to get any modifications or waivers of requirements as a Boy Scout, the first step you need to take is getting the classification.
Because this is interesting to me, so there's a scout that joins your unit that has a special need. Would you automatically try to get them registered with that special code?
Well, I'll tell you what. I would encourage the family to pursue that. And, you know, in Monopoly terminology, they sort of call it the disability card as opposed to the get-out-of-jail-free card. And just like in a Monopoly game, you don't have to use it unless you want to.
Gotcha.
Or need to.
So it's there in case it happens.
Right, and the Scoutmaster may be the only person who's aware of it.
Gotcha.
I mean, it can be held in confidence if need be. Because
now
I know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I know that a young man getting into a scout troop who has a disability, very often, I mean, if it's an invisible disability, the last thing he wants to do is make it known. Oh, I've got this label, guys. No, he wants to be one of the guys.
Right.
And you can respect that. My concern, and one of the reasons why I recommend that a family get that classification earlier, is because if you wait until, say, the young man is 17 and a half or thereabouts, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, he doesn't have enough time, there's no way he's going to make Eagle. If you apply to get that, I'll use the word improperly, extension, at that point in time, it has to be approved by National Council, and they are very negative on it. In fact, there's verbiage in the Guide to Advancement which basically says, if you've been able to advance in a normal fashion up until now, what's changed?
Mm-hmm.
And just because you come up a couple, a month or so short, for no other reason, using the disability card they're very skeptical about it, and I can sort of understand that.
Right, because why wouldn't they have taken action prior to that point to work out whatever issues, unless the scout like started late or something like that.
Exactly, and the whole idea behind the extension, now using the term correctly, that extension can be for up to 6 months, usually. And it basically is predicated upon a circumstance that's totally beyond the control of the youth member. I mean, things like injuries, unanticipated family incidents, various mistakes or omissions by adults. Natural disasters. I think your young man who's going to be talking tomorrow, that potentially could have been played into his advancement process. Severe unseasonable weather, like as an example, someone who's back on the Jersey coast or New York, and you know they've been without electricity and everything else, and this goes on for several months and delays an individual's advancement toward Eagle, that potentially could be a reason, you know, it's beyond their control and they weren't able to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's I've already mentioned this, but the approval authority for a time extension only comes from National Council. I've been working a case in my council where a young man was involved in an accident, and he's now up against the timeline, and he's following the process where the citation for that is 11.2.0.0 in the Guide to Advancement, which actually it's a form which says who needs to make statements, the individual, the unit leader, who needs to recommend a position on that, and that's the Council Advancement Committee. And then all of this paperwork needs to be pulled together and sent to National, and they make the decision.
Okay.
Here's the kicker. Once the National Advancement Committee makes a decision, that's final.
There's no
appeal. That's right. So obviously, if you're going to follow that approach, you need to, you know, give it your best shot and make sure you've got all of the details in place. You've looked through the Guide to Advancement so that you know, okay, I meet the criteria that's spelled out here, and here's why. And hopefully that will work. And if you've done that,
make sure you have all your ducks in a row, in essence.
Absolutely. And if you do that, the Council Advancement Committee is put in a position where they can say, okay, looking through the requirements here, yeah, everything seems to fit. We recommend approval. It gets to National, and if everything's there, there's a good chance that it may be approved.
Gotcha.
It's got to be a strong case.
Got strong. And that's specifically for extensions. So,
right.
I guess,
but for registration beyond the age of eligibility, the
right.
approval authority is the Council Advancement Committee. It does not go to National.
Okay. So to get the approval for the classification, which would
yes.
thus allow a scout to be go past whatever age, which isn't... I know this is very good because I now know the difference between the two things, because I always thought the extensions and were kind of one and the same.
Don't feel bad. I've been using the terminology that way myself. In fact, just last month, as we were going through this, I got a query from another council on this very same topic relative to an individual who has a specific disability and whether they should approve his registration beyond the age of eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I was saying that, you know, whether they should waive the age limit and give him an extension. And in the process of that, a member I know from the National Advancement Committee actually very clearly corrected me on the use of the terms. And I think they've made these terms fairly explicit. Registering beyond the age of eligibility and extension are two different terms, and what they're trying to make it very clear. One of them is time limited and based upon very explicit criteria, and it can apply to anybody who meet the criteria, whether they have a disability or not. The other one only applies to someone who meets the disability criteria.
Now, I have a question for you. Questions getting back about the classification of a scout with special needs, because that actually opens up a whole bunch of other questions. First of all, if a scout is automatically put into a special needs unit, would they automatically get the classification, or is it individual based? Does that make sense?
Practically speaking. Well, if they're in a special needs unit, they need to meet the criteria of having special needs. And I haven't really faced this question, but it would strike me that they probably would need to meet the criteria and document it as when they register.
Okay. Being a member of a unit doesn't necessarily automatically make them get classified as a special needs scout.
Right.
So you'd have to go to the process of getting classified specifically for each individual scout, no matter if it's a special needs unit or not.
Right. And, you know, for what it's worth, the those in a special needs unit, very often the special needs units are formed around a population that clearly does have special needs. Like
right.
I say, a group home or a care facility or something like that. So in terms of does this person qualify or not, I mean, you've got the basic criteria already in place.
And then people should seek out their local councils to get the whatever process each individual council has?
Well, let's see, if the unit is new, being formed anew as a special needs unit, the Council Advancement Committee and their counterparts at the district level undoubtedly would be involved in making sure that criteria is met.
For just in general, though, because the vast majority of the scouts that have special needs are probably not in a special needs unit. They're probably more in a typical developing unit. Vast majority of ways. So you would suggest for those people to contact their local council to find out what the individual.
I'll tell you what. For those who are not, I mean, in a special needs unit, that should be fairly straightforward. For those who are not, who are in a line unit, using military terminology. There are several points that they can go to. For example, if you have someone who's on the autism spectrum, they probably should contact first the committee at the council level that addresses special needs scouting. Now, that can be a challenge because not all councils have one of those committees just yet.
Right.
I know your council has had one, and it's in a revival mode right now, and that's great. But the reason I would point the family in that direction is that's where the expertise and understanding and knowledge of this process should very clearly be
driven from. Right.
Right. Now, also, some councils have people with special needs scouting expertise on their advancement committees. They too are a resource.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, obviously you want to find out, you know, from the district and council personnel, or better yet, talk to your unit commissioner for starters and find out, is there somebody in this in my council that knows or is knowledgeable about the processes around scouting for those who have special needs and disabilities? Because it's, you know, sending you to sending a person to specific committee that one size won't fit all.
Right.
The unit commissioner part of their role is to be a resource for the unit. That's actually probably one of their primary roles. So hopefully they know where that resource sits.
Well, hopefully that clears up a lot of issues then, especially around extensions, because if someone is already pre-registered as someone with a specific classification, then it should be easier for them to get either a modification or an alteration to a requirement. Correct.
Right. Well, obviously, in a case like that, they will have then already gone through step number one for getting the advancement changes approved.
Where I'm going with this kind of leads into our next kind of topic, which is the individual scout advancement plan.
Yes.
Which you developed. it's kind of like, for those who don't know, it's kind of like an IEP, which is an individual education plan, or a 504 plan that's in most education systems. But it's geared towards scouting. And Tony actually developed that through the Working with Scouts with Disabilities website. And Tony, why don't you go ahead and tell what that is and kind of the different parts of the ISAP.
Okay, well, when we put that form together, we basically we looked at what the requirements were that BSA had in place to qualify as a scout who had a disability or special needs, and this form that we've developed, actually it's called a format in the Scouting for Youth with Disabilities Manual, which is an official publication of Boy Scouts. So it's an official format to be used, and basically it walks the scout and their family and their unit and the district and council through the process of documenting that yes, this scout does qualify as for the classification of having a disability. Effectively, it's into addressing what the disabilities are that qualify, getting the involvement and documentation from a medical professional or educational professional, and then also getting the approval of the whole process by the district and council advancement committees. At which point, once you have all those approvals on this document, the notification is sent back to the scout and the scout leader, or the scout and their parents and leader, so that they've got a copy that shows that, yes, this has happened, and this document then winds up being maintained at the council level to support that classification. Now, there is one page in here, it's page 3 of the document as it now stands, without any input, because, let me back up a second, it's the document is provided on my website as a Word document. So you can go in and actually just fill it out. And right now it's 5 pages, but I guarantee you once you get into putting in some of the detail, it very clearly could go beyond that. But that's the whole, that was the idea. You don't want to limit somebody to 3 lines to summarize, for example, an alternative, or summarize the actual disability. But on page three, they have a there's a place in here where you can actually address alternative requirements, for example, for tenderfoot, second class, first class, where you can state, here's the existing requirement. Okay, here, and then here are some alternative approaches or modifications which meet the criteria of being as challenging for this scout as the standard requirement is for anyone else. And then a place for a narrative summary explaining, okay, why can't the scout do the standard requirement, and why does this alternative actually meet the criteria for being as stringent or as challenging?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's fairly straight. It's straightforward. In the process, I guess on page four we say here, you can attach additional documents if needed, such as the IEP or the 504 plan. You don't have to put those in there. In fact, I know, having been a parent of a son whose son had an IEP for quite a long time, I mean, there's stuff in there that's fairly personal, and you don't necessarily want to put it out there in public. However, you can redact, the personalized stuff, but highlight those areas which may speak to, okay, here are approaches that work well with this young man, and here are suggestions. In other words, pull the positive, supportive information out of that IEP or 504 plan, because that's going to help. I mean, if it works in the educational process, it should also work in the scouting process.
Absolutely.
That's something that should be shared with the leaders, as opposed to kept under your hat. So, like I said, the ISAP is basically a format for meeting the requirement, documenting and meeting the requirements that would enable this young man to be registered as a scout who has a disability.
Gotcha. And who say, okay, so they go through that process and they fill out the form, and then they contact someone at their local council. Obviously what you said, try one of the committees, someone who would have some expertise, and then the scout would be then classified as someone with a special need, and
right.
And at that point, then they could continue on past the age of eligibility. Correct.
That perfect. You use the terminology exactly the way it should be used.
That would also then, in essence, give them "quote unquote" the extension that they're also looking for. The extension in the quotation area, not the official extension.
Yeah, actually, using that, you've got the terminology of registering beyond the age of eligibility. Basically, this enables the young man to continue to be a registered youth member of the program.
Right.
I would actually when you start talking about this population, I would try to avoid using the word extension.
Right, right. More using the word register beyond the age of
right eligibility.
That makes a lot more sense. Right, and where exactly? Is there anything else that people should know either about the extension process? Going back, so there are needs. What if someone going back to the extension? For those people mm-hmm. that just need, that fall into those circumstances that we talked about earlier, that are kind of beyond their control and whatnot, there may be some scouts that fall into a special needs category but don't necessarily want to be registered as one, but then fall into that extension process that they may need to fall into because of some unforeseen circumstance.
Right.
What is there any, and you said that when that gets to national, they have final yes or no approval, correct?
Correct.
And then whatever, and then it goes back to the district or the council, and then they'll inform the scout of that particular thing, issue as well?
Yes.
Right. At such time as a decision is rendered, it would be provided to both the family and the council.
Okay. And then a couple final thoughts on the ISAP also. Is there anything specific there that kind of can trick people up, or is kind of tricky to get a hold of, or is it pretty straightforward?
Well, I'll tell you what. A number of councils actually have links on their websites to my website to get to the ISAP. I would, to be perfectly
and
honest,
that website again
see,
is www.wswsw.org. So if people
correct.
Out there, and not only is that link there, there's just a wealth of information on all special
mm-hmm.
needs scouting. So strongly encourage people to get there as well.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, to get to the ISAP, what you want to look for, either in the, there are two places you can use to navigate. One is the navigation bars in the upper left-hand corner of the website, which I noticed recently don't seem to be functioning right, so I've got to fix that. As an alternative, there is actually a hyperlink in the middle at the bottom of the homepage that says alternative site map. If you go there, everything that's in the toolbar is also listed there and hyperlinked. So if the buttons aren't working, go to that. And what you want to look for is downloads. And once you get to the downloads page, look under initiatives, and the ISAP is right there.
Very good. It's also under the advancement page as well.
Yes.
So.
I think I have it cross-linked on the website, but the bottom line is, if you're doing this firsthand, you really would rather use the Word document than the PDF.
Right, right. There's also to let people know, Tony's still looking for people for the National Scout Jamboree for Scoutmasters to come out and be staff members. As well, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I've got 100 staff approved, and I currently have, I believe, at last count, I have 59 staff already signed up, so I have 41 spaces available.
I always want to give a plug out for that for you.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to, we have just a couple minutes left, I'll let you finish up, I guess, the last couple of minutes.
Okay. Really, this whole extension versus registration beyond the age of eligibility situation, it's fairly clear-cut. But I really would recommend, again, that if you get into a situation where, you know, you're in a gray area, you don't know whether it should be an extension or not, several places to look in the Guide to Advancement, and that's Form 33088. One is Section 9.0.4.0, that's time extensions, and that covers the whole topic. The other one, for those with special needs and registering beyond the age of eligibility, is 10.1.0.0. And as I mentioned earlier, If you do get backed into the corner of doing an extension, 11.2.0.0 gives you the format you need to follow to request the extension. I did mention, if you will, what might look like a negative thing, which says the decision of the National Advancement Committee is final. However, there is a number of things, such as the classification of having the disability, where the decision rests at the council level. One point to keep in mind, once a decision has been rendered, in the favor of the scout, that is final.
Gotcha.
So
they can't come back afterwards and say, oh, we made a mistake. We're taking away your classification or your extension.
I mean, explicitly, it's stated in the Guide to Advancement. I mean, for example, the classification decision is made at the council level. Once they make that decision, that's in favor of the youth, that's final.
Gotcha.
Which is, again, one of the reasons why I suggest getting the classification early so there's no questions, there are no questions asked, and you don't wind up having to go and request an extension, and then you're winding up jumping over hurdles which could have been avoided.
Well, I personally have learned quite a bit, and I thought I knew a lot, and that actually makes a lot of sense and clears up a lot of misconfusion as far as I'm concerned. Thank you, Tony, for all the times you come on. We really always appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Anytime you ever want to come back, talk about anything, we're definitely here for you to support what you're doing on a national level. We really appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you. And keep up the good work.
Thank you, and also congratulations on your training session in North Carolina as well. Saw the photo.
All right.
Thank you, Tony, and have a
Thanks
good
again.
Day. Bye.
Hey, bye.
Well, that was Tony May. He was the National BSA Special Needs Committee Chair. We want to thank everyone for coming out and listening to the show.
You've been listening to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's scouting communities. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism Empowerment Radio tab or visit our Autism and Scouting page. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you and goodbye.